Thank you for listening. For other great sermons, please visit us online at www.berkshirehillsbaptist.com.
He's given us His grace so that we can rejoice. You know, life gets tough. Well, I tell you what, I could spend a long time telling you about it, brother. But you know what? There's also good times. And how you handle the bad times and how you handle the good times is dependent on the type of attitude that you have. You know, there's some people that they're just all hunky-dory and smiling and everything's going right as long as everything's going right. But as soon as something happens, they get real grumpy. And they start blaming everybody. I don't think that's the way God wants us to be. He wants us to rejoice. And again, He says, rejoice. But in order for us to rejoice, we have to have His grace to do that. And He reminds us of some things because having the right attitude, allowing His grace to go through us, will let us get through. You know, I'm not saying you have to laugh in the middle of turmoil, but there's this inner peace that allows you to get through the turmoil without biting everybody's head off. That's not the way God wants us to be. He wants us to handle everything with a rejoicing attitude. We can do that through His grace. But we have to allow His grace to work in our lives. Remember, I told you the definition. There's many definitions of grace, but the one for what we're talking about is grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. In other words, you let God work in your life, and not just work in it, but then let it flow out so other people can see it. We become a conduit. We become a means of transporting God's grace so that everybody can see it in our lives. If we tell everybody God's good, God can help you, God is merciful, God is gracious, and something bad happens and we're out screaming and yelling and blaming and being real nasty, and those that we are trying to witness to, they're going, what kind of God do you serve? Do you only serve a happy God? No, we serve a mighty God. Amen. And He wants us to be rejoicing even in the midst of no matter what happens, good or bad. In order to do so, there's some things that we can remember that talks about. Verse 9 through 11 actually talks about bad things that can happen. And we're going to look at that tonight. But I want to just remind, and it's just a reminder of things we can rejoice in. When stuff goes wrong, you can rejoice in a few facts that God has given to us. Let's just read the first eight verses again. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, notice, by the will of God. God's the one that directs where we need to be, isn't He? And Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Notice verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Epaphras was the pastor of the church at Colossae. That's why they're saying he's a faithful minister of Christ. who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for the next few moments, just allow us to let you speak to our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we let you speak to us through your word. And I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just fill me now. That every word, every thought that I have are only your thoughts and your words as they're spoken to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in first part of verse 4, it says, since we heard of your faith. You know, we can rejoice because of our faith. Can't we? I mean, we have faith. We have something to have faith in. Everybody wants to have faith in something. They may be an atheist or an agnostic, but they want to have faith in something, even if it's in themselves. We have this innate ability, this desire within us to want to believe in something. Hopefully something that's greater than us. And God has allowed us to have faith in the creator of the universe. Faith faith that allows us to do some mighty marvelous things. Look at verse 13. At verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He, because of faith, before faith, we lived in darkness. We didn't know we lived in darkness. But we lived in darkness. You know, somebody that's been born blind, who's never experienced sight, they don't know what they're missing until somebody tells them. Oh, you should see this. And they're thinking, see what? Because they've never seen. They've always lived literally in darkness. And because we're all born in sin, we're all born into darkness. And we're all under the power of the prince of darkness. We don't like to think about that, do we? But Jesus said, when you have faith, I can deliver you out of that darkness and deliver you into the light. Yay! We should rejoice in that. Because we don't have to walk in darkness anymore. We can walk in the light. Some of you may remember the song years ago, I Saw the Light. That was a great song. Too bad the guy was had some bad habits. But you know what? That's what happened to us. We saw the light. If you're a believer, you walked in darkness. If you're still an unbeliever, you're still walking in darkness. You may say, well, I can see everything that goes on. We're talking spiritual darkness. And we're talking a spiritual darkness that's ruled by the prince of darkness. Scripture tells us that before we become a child of God in our sin, we're a child of the devil. How many people like being a child of the devil? Anybody? I don't think so. At least not in this room. Some people do. But you know what? They're going to find out different. You know, if you really study Scripture, sometimes we say, well, the devil's been in hell and he controls hell. The truth is, according to Scripture, Satan has never been there. Not yet. But he's going to be. That's where his eternity is. And misery loves company, and he's trying to get as many people to go with him as he can. And that's why he's trying to keep everybody in darkness. He's trying to pretend that everything is okay. But because of faith, we can get out of that darkness and we can get into light. Because of faith, it also tells us that he redeems us. You know, you don't have to redeem anything that doesn't need to be redeemed. See, we've been in sin. We've been in a bondage of sin. We need to be bought out of that. And so Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood, bought us or redeemed us from that bondage of sin. We can rejoice in that. When you look around, and I do this sometimes, I'll counsel with somebody or I'll talk to somebody, and everything wrong is going on in their life. And I look at the way they live their life and the way things are happening, And I think to myself, you know, I don't have a perfect life, but compared to some people, I've been blessed. It can always be worse. We look at some of our fellow brothers and sisters that live in some of the other countries where, especially some of the Muslim countries, their lives, literally every moment could be their last because of their faith. We have a lot of freedoms in our country to express our faith. And we need to do that because we can rejoice in it. Because Jesus Christ has redeemed us. He brought us out of the darkness into light. It says that we've been given the forgiveness of sins. Whoa! How could he do that? How could anybody forgive us of sins? He's God. He made the rules. He made the standards. You know, I've talked to people, you've talked to people. You're trying to witness to people and tell them that they need to have faith in Jesus Christ and so they can go to heaven. And what is a common answer? I think I'm going to heaven anyway because I've been good. I've never done anything bad. I've never killed anybody. You know, I've never stolen a whole lot. I've never told really big lies. I've been a good person, so God will have to take me to heaven. Oh, that would be nice if that was true. But you know what? The question to ask people like that is, you say you're good, but who determines the standard of how good is good to get into heaven? Who came up with the little rule that says you have to be this good to get into heaven? God did. It's His heaven. So He's got the rule. And when He looks at everybody down here, you know, being good is just doing the right thing. You know, Scripture calls that being righteous. And what Scripture say about being good? There is none righteous, no, not one. So God controls heaven. God says, my rule is you have to be perfectly good, perfectly righteous to get in. And there's nobody like that. So everybody says, well, I think I'm good enough to get into heaven. They're just lying to themselves. Because they may think they're good enough to get in, but God doesn't think they're good enough to get in. And it's His heaven. It'd be like going to, get into, like myself. There's a group called the VFW. Any of you a member of the VFW? Veterans of Foreign Wars. I spent 14 years in the United States Navy. You know what? In 14 years, we had peacetime. Drat! That peacetime cost me the ability to be a member of the VFW. Because I wasn't a member, I wasn't a veteran of a foreign war. I was just a veteran. Well, who makes the rules? The VFW made them. They said, you want to be in the VFW? You have to be a veteran of a war. But I'm a veteran. Anybody served in the military is a veteran. You don't have to fight in a war. They say it doesn't matter that you're just good enough to be a veteran. You have to have been a veteran in a war. You see, they make rules. And we abide by those. Other groups make rules, and we abide by those. Why can't God make rules? Everybody says, well, it's not fair. It's God. But because of our faith, we've had our sins forgiven. We've had the righteousness of Jesus Christ laid upon us. And so literally when we get to heaven, we're not getting there because of our righteousness. We're getting there because we had faith in Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And God is saying, come on in. Because we met His standard because of our faith. And so we can rejoice in faith. What else can we rejoice in? The second part of verse 4 says, and of the love which you have to all the saints. We can rejoice because of love. Love is something that, godly love is something we can't do unless we have God in our life. I mean, we can love one another, in a secular way, and there's other ways to love one another. We can help one another, but in order to have the kind of love that God wants us to have, we have to have faith in Jesus Christ. And then we can love in a different way. In fact, we're even commanded to love, aren't we? One of the last commandments Jesus gave to the disciples and to us is, this new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Sometimes I wish he hadn't put that one in there. Have you ever tried to love somebody that's unlovable? Well, just think about it this way. Jesus loved you, didn't he? Sometimes you're unlovable. Sometimes I'm unlovable. But he still loves us. It doesn't mean he agrees with what we do, but he loves us in a way that we're supposed to love others. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, it says, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You see, we're taught by God to love one another. We're taught to love him in such a way that we can rejoice because we're allowed to love that way one another. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You see, love is more than just words. I can go around and I can say, I love you, sister. I love you, brother. And then you have a need. Man, you're on your own. That's not love. Hebrews 6 tells us that love is shown in our actions. Jesus Christ said he came because God so loved the world. And Jesus loved the world. And he could have spent his whole ministry telling everybody, I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you. But I ain't dying on the cross for you. That's just going too far. But no, he showed his love. And we can rejoice because not only can we love like God, but we can show our love in what we do. And we should rejoice in that. That God thinks enough of us to allow us to show his love to other people in what we do. It may be uncomfortable at times. But we can still show our love. Jesus Christ showed his love to us hanging on that cross with people laughing at him, and still he said, I love you. And I'm going to show it by what I do. That's what the world needs to see, is God's love shown through us to a world that really needs to know what true love is. Oh, they think they know what love is. But I want to tell you, the love that the world expresses is not the kind of love that God wanted. Sacrificial love. Caring love. Jesus showed his love to all of us. And how do we even know how to love? Verse 8 in chapter 1 says, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. See, that's how we're allowed to love, is when we let the Holy Spirit work through us. I know, unfortunately, the Pentecostals and some of the other people have stolen the joy of really allowing the Spirit, because some groups have gone overboard and saying, this is what the Spirit wants you to do. If the Spirit controls you, you got to be dancing up and down the aisles. If the Spirit controls you, you got to be laughing all the time. If the Spirit controls you, you got to fall down, slain by... No. If the Spirit controls you, you'll be showing the love of God to everybody you meet. If the Spirit controls you, you'll be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And we'll be showing godly love. And we can rejoice. We can rejoice that God allows us to show his love to the world. Because Jesus isn't here anymore. Jesus needs us to show the world his love. And can you imagine what a world would be like if every believer suddenly started loving the way the Holy Spirit guided them to love? Over the years, Christianity's taken a hit. Especially, you know, when they had the Inquisitions. They had the Crusades. All kinds of other things that they did in the name of God. But the truth is, if you look at them, they may have been doing them in the name of God, but they weren't doing it in the love of God. Doing things in the love of God requires us to do things differently. And isn't that where God wants us to be? I mean, if we show the love of God, how did Jesus show the love of God to those around him? A blind guy named Barabbas. Is that his name? Bartimaeus, thank you. Barabbas was that other dude. I know it was a B word. And Jesus just walked on by him, but he kept crying, and Jesus stopped and went back and healed him. That's love. Lepers came to him and he healed them. They're saying, well, so that's what we have to heal people to make, show them their love? No. Jesus went to a well and talked to a woman who nobody else in town would talk to because she'd had a lot of husbands and now was living with some dude. Nobody in town would talk to her that much. At least none of the women would. You know, the ones that were better than she was. Jesus sat down at that well and told her, I need a drink of water. And then he said, I'm going to give you a drink of water, but not this wet stuff. I'm going to give you a drink of the living water. I'm going to tell you what you need so your sins are forgiven. And she was so excited, she went back and got the men of the city to come and hear. See, we show the love of God when we witness to those that nobody else would witness to. And just share the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. The simple gospel that God has given us the privilege to share with other people. We can rejoice in that. God's trusted you with the most important message in the world. A little scared sometimes, huh? But we can rejoice. Because if God didn't think he could trust you to deliver that message to the Holy Spirit, he would have written his word different. Instead of saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, he would have said, I'm going to appoint a few in each generation to share my word. But he didn't say that, did he? We can rejoice that God trusts us to show his love to the world. And that's what we can rejoice in. And we can love those. Love people that are different. Love people that have problems. And I'm not just talking physical problems. Emotional problems. Spiritual problems. And yes, some people are hard to talk to. And sometimes all we can do is just say, God loves you. But Jesus never avoided anybody. Except maybe the Pharisees for a while. But you know what? He even witnessed to them. God wants to show his love to the world through us. And we can rejoice because of that. If you got the idea here, we've talked about faith and we've talked about love. What do you think the third thing we're going to talk about? What's the three great things told to us in 1 Corinthians 13? Hope. Verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. This is what we can really rejoice in, amen? If you know Jesus Christ, there is hope in heaven. You're going to heaven. You know, it got nice weather this weekend. And I went out and did some yard work and I exercised a few muscles that I haven't exercised for a while. And when I sat down, I wasn't sure if I was going to get back up. But you know what? It won't be that way in heaven. I can work all day in the yard in heaven. No pain. A lot of us will say, amen. We don't want any pain. We can rejoice that there's hope that we're going to heaven. Why? Because we had the faith. Because we accepted the love of God. We can have the hope we're going to heaven. We should rejoice in that. Yeah, you know, when I wake up in the morning, and probably when you wake up in the morning, maybe some of us all day long, we're walking around, this hurts, that hurts, I can't see, I can't hear. You know, sometimes I even have, as you saw this morning, I even have trouble talking. But you know what? That's all going to change when the Lord says it's time. I won't need these. I hear you. I hear a lot of amens. These things I've been wearing since the sixth grade, and even though I'm used to them, they still get aggravating at times. Especially out working in the yard, you know, and the little perspiration starts dribbling down over the front. But you know what we will need does? We can have hope. We can have hope in heaven. And what's interesting is if we're living the Christian life, if we're allowing God, you know, if we're rejoicing in the faith that we have, if we're sharing His love and rejoicing that we can do that, and we're feeling God's grace come upon our lives, and we're being led by the Spirit, life on earth here can be good. But not nearly as good as it's going to be in heaven. So we can have hope that we're going to heaven. And it's more than just, I hope I'm going to heaven. It's, I'm going to heaven, so I have hope. Some people just say, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Heaven's not a hope-so place. You either is or you isn't. Are you going to heaven? You can rejoice in that fact. You can rejoice in the fact you're going to heaven. Notice in verse 4, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherever you've heard before in the word of gospel. Those words, is laid up for, that word means to be stored away for future use. That word laid up for means a reservation. You can have hope because you have a reservation in heaven. A reservation that cannot be canceled. A reservation that will not be postponed. A reservation that is sure. You know, we make reservations on earth for all kinds of things. Maybe you have an anniversary dinner or something special coming on, so you make a reservation at that special restaurant. Why? Because you want to make sure that restaurant everybody wants to get on, and if you don't have a reservation, you're not getting in. But you have a reservation in heaven if you know Jesus Christ. You're going to walk to the, you know, we always say we're going to go to the pearly gates. All the stories always go, you're going to go to the pearly gates and St. Peter's going to be there. But you know what? If that's true, He's going to be there, and you're going to walk up, and you're going to say, I'm going to say, hi, my name's Doug Mann. He's going to go, and you have a reservation. Go on in. Yes! And we look at life on earth, and we go, man, I hope I live one more day. Well, God, if God wants to use me for one more day, I hope I live one more day too. But when time comes to go to heaven, life on earth is just short. It's a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. You know, Scripture even says if you live 70 years, you've done good. And after that, it's all misery. You know what? That means if you live more than 70 years, you're going downhill after that. Brother Aldo, he lived 90 years. Whoa, that's a long time. But you know what? It was just a vapor. In God's timing, it was a drop in the bucket. Now he's well on his way to eternity. And so are we, if you have hope in heaven. And this hope is based on truth. Verse 5 says, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? We know we can have hope we're going to heaven. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, if you believe the gospel, you're saved. If you're saved, you're born again. If you're born again, you have a reservation in heaven. Amen? And so you have the reservation. All we're waiting is for the time to come when he calls us home. Hope that's based on the truth of Jesus. Galatians 5:5 says, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Are you ready for heaven? Are you looking forward to it? I am. I know the Lord still has something for us to do here on earth, but when he says it's time to go, I'm ready. Why? Because I had faith in Jesus Christ. And I can rejoice in that. Why? Because I've tried to serve the Lord and show his love to those around me. And I can rejoice in that. And so can you. And I can rejoice that I have hope that heaven's going to be my eternal home. And if you have faith and love and hope, rejoice in it. When those bones creak, rejoice that one day they won't. When you meet somebody that wants to know about Jesus or doesn't know about Jesus, rejoice that you can share your faith through love with them. God's trusted you to do that. When bad things happen, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And we can do it all because of the grace of God working through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that if we allow your grace to work in our lives, we can rejoice. We can rejoice in the bad times. We can rejoice in the good times. We can rejoice when we're on top of the mountain or down in the valley. But Lord, when we remind ourselves daily that we walk with you, we can always rejoice. We thank you, Lord, for this. Help us, Lord, to rely on it, to hold on to it like a life raft as we go through life. And Lord, let us be constantly reminded that one day we'll be with you. Lord, I ask now that as we listen to the message, as we look at our lives, and some may think, well, I don't have hope. Let them realize they need Jesus Christ. Or perhaps some will look at their life and go, I used to have all of these things. I used to be able to rejoice, but things happened in my life. I've sinned against God. Help them, Lord, to bring that sin to remembrance. Allow them to repent and ask your forgiveness and receive it, Lord, so that they too can rejoice. Perhaps some here, Lord, are just troubled over situations. Calm their fears and ease them, Lord. Comfort them. Allow them to rejoice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.